Welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you if Father Time has finally caught up with Tom Brady.
And just what the heck is wrong with them Warriors up top? But we start with a Whitlock like every day. So what you got today, you know?
All right, forgive me, Kansas City, for I'm about to sin. Drew Brees should win MVP.
What?
There, I said it.
What?
And I mean it. And I don't think anything that happens this weekend will change my mind. Drew Brees is my choice for MVP over Patrick Mahomes, my favorite player playing on my favorite team. With fans like me, who needs enemies? Well, my opinion on the 2018 MVP isn't anti-Patrick Mahomes. It's pro-Drew Brees. He's earned the MVP award. He deserves it. He's owed it. It would be a stain on the NFL if Brees exits the league without having won its most prestigious honor, the Associated Press MVP award. Brees is the NFL's modern-day Walter Payton, the most respected and beloved player across the league. I know. The MVP award isn't about respect and love. It's about performance. Brees' performance in 2018 is second to none. He has the highest passer rating in the NFL this season at 115.7, which is the sixth best all time. He's on pace to shatter his own NFL record for completion percentage. He's connecting on 74% of his passes. He's thrown a career low 5 interceptions. The Saints have the best record in football. Drew Brees deserves the MVP. Now, I admit, so does my man Patrick Mahomes. The Magic Man is likely going to be just the third NFL quarterback to throw 50 touchdowns in a season. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are the others. Mahomes has 48 TD passes heading into this weekend's game against the Raiders. Mahomes is in a battle with Ben Roethlisberger for the lead in passing yards this season. Mahomes has been sensational this year. He's clearly the most exciting player to enter the league in a long time. His value is unquestioned. If he had a better defense, his numbers would likely be even better, and the Chiefs would have had more success against the Chargers, Patriots, Seahawks, and the Rams. In my view, Mahomes and Brees are tied, and the tie should go to the 39-year-old legend who has never won the award. I do think Brees' years of service and legacy matter. Why not complete Brees' resume? Why not put the final touch on his reputation? Don't do Drew Brees the way Mike Ditka did Walter Payton in the Super Bowl. Remember when Ditka let the refrigerator score a touchdown rather than let sweetness dive over the top? That's a stain on Ditka's resume, not Payton's. Drew Brees ending his career without an MVP would be a stain to the NFL. Give it to him. Mahomes will win it next year. All right, joining the desk now are Fox NFL analysts James Harrison and TJ Husmanzada. Marcellus, finally reached a conclusion. I'm going with Drew Brees. I'm sure you disagree with me. You're on the Mahomes wagon, but
yeah,
I think Drew Brees deserves the MVP.
That's how you spent your Christmas, Grinch, over there making a conclusion like this. How blasphemous. Came in the day after Christmas to hear this. This is crazy. You know, it's Box Day, especially in Canada. Shout out to my Canadian family. They celebrate today. This is a holiday. I shouldn't be here, but I'm here, and I got to deal with this madness. All right, I don't understand the fever, the love to try and take this trophy away from Patrick Mahomes, who's been the front runner and who's been the MVP candidate this entire year. There was a time where Drew Brees looked like he had that award and he gave it away. So let's not just argue ad nauseum about how great they are. Let's talk about the moments that they weren't so great. Their worst moments this year, because that's how the Heisman Trophy was decided this year. It was decided because of the worst moments of those two guys, not necessarily the great moments. So let's look at Drew Brees' worst moments. Oh my God. Did Drew Brees actually lose a ball game for his squad where Patrick Mahomes never did this year? He did. He had one game where he had a 71 quarterback rating and 127 yards against the Dallas Cowboys. And if Drew Brees was anything near the MVP standard Drew Brees, they win that game. Patrick Mahomes has not lost a game this year where his quarterback rating wasn't 103 or higher. So his worst is by far better than Drew Brees' worst. Who did Patrick Mahomes lose to this year? Let's say the teams. Patriots, Seahawks, Rams, and Chargers. Okay, people could take that and digest it. Let's look deeper. He lost to Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Phillip Rivers, and who am I forgetting?
Jared Goff.
MVP candidates. My point is, if you want to look at the bad version of them, it's not even close how bad Drew Brees has been in comparison to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has lived by an MVP standard this entire year. He's the MVP.
I'm just of the opinion it should not be a lifetime achievement award. It's a disservice to Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. It's, oh, he'll win it next year. It's no guarantee he'll have this same type of year. Now, has Drew Brees played well enough to win the MVP? Yes. It's just somebody's played a little better, and that's Patrick Mahomes. It's no, this is first year as a starter, and we think he'll play 10, 15 years. He'll have many more opportunities. Well, Drew Brees had plenty of opportunities as well. It should not be a lifetime achievement award because it's a disservice to Patrick Mahomes. And if you delve into a little, dude, the defense that New Orleans has, it makes his team, he has a better record. The defense is so good. Patrick Mahomes is pretty much doing everything in Kansas City. And I know you want Drew Brees to win it, we're pulling up your Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, so it's...
Well, I'm with him. I gotta go Drew Brees. And the reason I gotta go Drew Brees is because, like you said, it's not a lifetime achievement award. I understand that. But there's other factors besides just MVP. Because if you get somebody that, say, their team went 6-10 and they threw for 51 touchdowns and 5,500 yards, would you give them the MVP?
Absolutely not.
Okay. He has a better team. They have a better record. They have the number one seed. Drew Brees is playing lights out. He has a better rating. He has less interceptions. Of course, he has more touchdowns. But all
Kansas
together,
City is the number one
altogether,
seed.
All together,
not yeah. maybe
well, 12.
They will be.
You got a 13-2, which will probably be 14-2, and you got an 11-4, which will probably be maybe 12-4. So either way it goes, all that put together, MVP is just not straight MVP, because if that was the case, you would have said I would have gave it to that quarterback that had a 6-10 record that threw all those numbers, but you wouldn't. That's the reason I'm giving it to Brees, not because of the lifetime, because of what he did this year and his whole team and how they look.
You mean a game where he lost 10-13? He lost a game 10-13.
See, if Mahomes was so great, he could have overcome his old sorry defense.
The reason,
and threw for 56,000 or 50,
the reason Marcellus' argument makes so much sense is this. If we're pulling hairs, you look at them at their worst. If we're pulling hairs and their best is very comparable, if you look at them at their worst,
it's not even close.
You're saying one game.
No, but y'all acknowledging we're pulling hair.
Yes, I
y'all
believe
acknowledge
so.
I'm not. I don't think it's that close.
I believe so. I believe
we're
so.
Pulling hair.
Yes.
Then why wouldn't you go, 14-2, 12-4? Again, if we're pulling hair,
because Drew Brees has a better overall team. He has a better overall team.
He has a better offense.
Defense.
He got better receivers and running backs and all that over there in
They lost.
I know the running backs. Yeah.
And can we split hairs and not pull them?
Hey, Michael Thomas is the dog.
I'm
yes.
just telling you,
it's
why
comparable.
I'm going with
he's
Chris.
Got one wide receiver, Michael Thomas. He's got one. Patrick Mahomes, and again, it sounds like I'm talking
who
bad
he
about
got?
Mahomes. He got Travis Kelce. He got Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins hasn't been that healthy.
He don't count. He ain't been
playing.
But
their receiving core, Conley, it's a complete receiving
core.
We're
on a shaky premise right now because Vegas is saying we're not splitting hairs. Vegas says Patrick Mahomes has the lead. Slim lead, but the lead. So there's no tie going on even by the numbers. But Vegas is also respecting what I'm saying, which is flip the coin over.
I don't care about Vegas.
Okay, I'm just giving you odds.
Okay.
So let's flip the coin over because at their best, I still say Patrick Mahomes has been better. But at their worst, there's no argument. And that's what just decided our last voting at the collegiate level. And I'm thinking that these voters are going to look at it in the same kind of storyline.
Well, to me, I don't care about the Heisman Trophy.
Okay,
how
respect.
How they decide the Heisman Trophy, because that is crazy. They don't even play equal competition.
Right. And they don't have a legacy play in there like this.
But again, if we're splitting hairs, why can't we not go to... Look at this man's body of work.
I get what you're saying, but don't you? That's completely unfair to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Because Drew Brees
really
has never been given an MVP. Sorry, Pat, we're going to give it to him this year. We got you next year.
Right.
That's unfair.
What if he never has this season again? Dan Marino, second year. Oh, you lost the Super Bowl? Don't worry, Dan. You'll get back and win it.
You know what? I'm about to backtrack on my Heisman deal because I'm about to bring another one. They do it all the time and with the Academy Awards, the Grammys, and all. They get, hey, man, this person has deserved this, has never gotten it. This may not be their best work, but we're going to give it to them anyway because Denzel deserves it or whomever they've giving these Lifetime Achievement Awards. And I can't even say this. We can't really argue that this isn't Drew Brees' best work. He's got his highest QB rating. Yeah. He's about to win that for the year. And the team's about to be 14-2.
Oh, here's my problem. At the core of sports is competition and integrity. We start robbing that just to give out an award because you never fully won it prior to this moment.
Rob is a strong
That's not my
word.
Reasoning, though. My reasoning is simply because I feel like his team is better with his performances versus Patrick's performances hasn't got them 14 wins.
But they... Too few.
No matter how good it is.
Too fewer if we're going to go to...
That's significant,
it is, but we still got the same result. You may be a number... You are one seed. I may be a one seed. Regardless of that, my defense has also given up 51 points. We lost.
In a game we should have won.
51, 28, what, 31, and 40. These are games we're losing. And Drew Brees went out there, and they lost the game 13-10.
13-10.
13-10. Like, Patrick Mahomes is like, if you ever... Defense hold another team to 13 points. Trust me how this is going to play out.
I can't nitpick all those games because I can't right now just instantly call them up.
Okay.
But Patrick Mahomes, and again, I sound like I'm bad. Forgive me, Patrick. He's thrown 11 interceptions. Some of these points you pointed to.
50 touchdowns, 11
interceptions. That's a high number in this league, the way the game
He's
is played
throw
now.
For over 50 touchdowns high? And 5,000 yards in his first year as a starter.
Say
his first year as a starter. It's unheard of.
Which one's more
unheard
of?
If it's his first year, then he should.
I got a real question.
Why not the 17th?
I got a real question. This is not even rhetorical. We all played the game. Mm-hmm. What's more daunting, because they're both amazing, to have a body of work, entire career of Drew Brees, who deserves an MVP at some time, versus your first time starting, first year tilting in the NFL. Not only are you good, not only are you great, but you're the best at your position, best in the league. Which one's more difficult? Obviously, we know what Patrick Mahomes is doing. That's
more.
Another thing, another little chip you put into the Patrick Mahomes bucket.
What he's doing is unprecedented. You don't see this. You don't
How old
see
is
this.
Bruce?
39, yeah. And it's very rare to see what he's doing.
So you can
at
go.
39,
no, wait,
you can even that out.
Tom Brady won MVP at 40.
Let me add. 39, and the guy's barely
Tom
6
Brady
feet
gave us
tall.
All time,
this is one of the great stories in NFL history, this undersized quarterback to put together this 20-year amazing run. And to have the kind of respect.
It is. It is.
And love he has around the league. He's the Walter Payton of this era. Give him the damn trophy.
Justin Gatlin, you came in second all them times you say, but give him the gold. Just give him the gold.
He's run as fast as anybody in the league. They 14-2 got the best record in the league.
Yeah.
No.
Patrick Mahomes winning, you won't be hearing any complaining from me. Trust me. There's something about auctions that makes shopping much more enjoyable. Sports fans, it probably has something to do with the competition and suspense that auctions provide. But who wants to spend time researching where their nearest auction house is and then make the trek all the way there? I definitely don't. And that's why I love Pristine Auction, an online sports auction house where you can buy and sell sports memorabilia from the comfort of your home. Pristine Auctions runs tons of different auction formats, including multiple weekly auctions, a premium monthly auction, as well as daily and 10-minute auctions. They guarantee the authenticity of their items, and everything you purchase comes with authentication from the most trusted sources. And the best part is, it's so affordable. I just saw an autographed Magic Johnson photo that sold for only $12. There's plenty more where that came from, too. Check out Pristine Auction now. You'll be hooked. It's free to register, free to bid, and only you pay for the items you win. That's Pristine Auction, spelled P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And when you register, be sure to select the Speak for Yourself podcast from the drop-down menu in the How Did You Hear About Us section. This lets them know I sent you. Time for a big story with Lock and Wiley, joined by James Harrison and TJ Husmanzada. Let's head to Baltimore, where the NFL world continues to gush over Lamar Jackson. Even though the rookie quarterback has yet to throw for over 210 yards in a game, USA Today recently claimed Jackson has the Ravens on the precipice of an AFC North crown. Everyone seems to be forgetting the other side of the ball, where the Ravens' defense has been dominant since Jackson became the starter, ranking first in both total yards allowed and rushing yards allowed, while holding teams to just 17 points per game. All right. This is going to sound like a little hate,
Uh-oh.
And it's really not. Lamar Jackson has exceeded expectations. What he's doing is tremendous as a rookie quarterback. But we are burying the story of this Baltimore defense. It's right now, it's a reincarnation of what Ray Lewis and Ed Reed had going on. Mm. And we keep writing stories about Lamar Jackson's leading the Baltimore Ravens to X, Y, and Z. And it's the defense that's carrying this team. And for the most part, we don't even know their names because no one will even speak their names of who's doing this on the Baltimore defense. But what they did to that Los Angeles Chargers offense was incredible. And we all came out of, Lamar rushed for 50, 60 yards and threw for 204 and he led them. No, he didn't. The defense did. And the defense is the reason why the Baltimores are probably the team most people in the NFL don't want to see in the playoffs because that defense can embarrass you.
Well, I give you credit saying that the defense deserves more love. But they are getting love, but they're just better with Lamar Jackson. So what's kind of burying their names and them and their impact is the fact that how did we get better because of our running quarterback who's growing in confidence in the pocket to become a true dual threat. What's happening to this defense is we were amazing before, and now we're A++ because time of possession has increased since Lamar Jackson has been there. You look at all the different numbers that have had enough impact. Now we're holding teams to fewer yards. Now we're giving up fewer points. All of that has impact, and the only thing that has changed is not on the defensive side, it's under center. So I've been there before. I was on a team that was 0-3 at quarterback, Rob Johnson, respect. And we changed the quarterback because of injury. Same in Baltimore. We won 10 of our next 13 games and made the playoffs. We were left for dead, and all of a sudden we couldn't be stopped. And only one thing changed. We were a number one defense before that. We just couldn't score to the same tune that when we got that impact from the quarterback position and the intangibles, that spark it gives you on the defensive side, it's not always number specific. It's just we feel different energy. We react different. So Lamar Jackson deserves this love.
Yeah, he definitely deserves credit. You know, like you said, he's built like the old Ravens were. You know, even like, you know, when we were in Pittsburgh in 2004, 2005, when we first had Ben didn't pass for a whole bunch of yards. We did a lot of running. Defense sat on the sideline, drank Gatorade, and got ready to go out there and you know, get another three and out and smash them because we're fresh. We're sitting on the sideline. We're ready to go. And like he said, it changes your mentality. You know, it's like, all right, 5 minutes left in the game. We're taking off tape talking about, all right, they about to run the clock out. It's over with. You know, it really changes how you approach it. So I definitely feel like he's getting the credit that he deserves. But at the same time, like you said, the defense is being, you know, overshadowed a little because of that. But he is the reason.
In order for a rookie quarterback to have success, you have to play this type of football. And defensively, be great on defense and run the ball. Since he's taken over, defensively, they're giving up 50 less yards per game because of they're not on the field as much. They're not taking as many snaps. It kind of reminds me of Russell Wilson when he got drafted to Seattle. His first 4 years in the league, they had the number one ranked defense. It enabled him to grow and develop his passing. In the game against the LA Chargers, he won the game. That was a great throw to Mark Andrews. He dropped it in on a bucket. I'm with you on the Baltimore Ravens are the only team I would be afraid to play in the playoffs. They're going to limit your time of possessions, and they're going to run the ball and stop you. You got to be perfect when you play them. And he's a part of that. He deserves the credit he's getting.
Okay. I wish then they would tell the full story because I take y'all at y'all's word, and I believe it to be true. There is a different energy with the team.
Yeah.
And if you listen to any Ravens players going all the way back, remember Ray Lewis caused some controversy when he had said something about Joe Flacco and Joe Flacco don't care about the game or he's not a leader. And he's not. And so Joe Flacco does emote a different, total different energy. Guys on the team like, man, this dude only plays the game because he's good at it. He don't have any love or passion for the game. And so I do think they feed off of Lamar's energy. He has a true passion for the game, and you need to have that from a quarterback. But I'll just say again, that defense is incredible, and people aren't telling the story. And so this almost like reminds me of, like, if people were sitting around writing stories about Trent Dilfer's leading that Baltimore Ravens team, blah, blah. I'm like, really?
Real.
Are y'all not watching what's going on the other side of the ball? There just does seem to be a bit of that.
Well, here we go. But he's impacting the game a little different, though, because he's getting so many rushing yards. He's keeping drives alive by scrambling, getting first down with his legs, whereas Dilfer would make a pass here and there. He's making a pass here and there, and he's running the ball.
How about this? We were a losing defense with Joe Flacco. Say what you want about how great we were playing on our side of the ball.
They were great,
and they were 4-5. All of a sudden, you hurt your hip. We bring in him. We're 5-1. Say what you want. Give that man some love.
Gotcha. All right. The Ravens' playoffs hopes are simple. Winning, they're in, but they're facing a red-hot Brown squad led by rookie sensation Baker Mayfield. Interim head coach Greg Williams is hoping to change his title to a more permanent one and says the team is treating the matchup as their playoff game. This is the other thing that has me concerned. Mm. This Browns game will not remotely be a walkover.
Right.
There's another rookie quarterback in this league that's got the biggest boulder on his shoulder I think we've ever seen from a rookie quarterback in Baker Mayfield. I think this game is going to be really, really dangerous. I think it's going to be a final possession game. You know, you're looking at a 13-10 type game. And, you know, whichever quarterback leads his team to a field goal, to me, at the end is going to win it. Because I do think the Browns love this Greg Williams. They're trying to get him the head coaching job. And Baker Mayfield, I just never seen anything like him with this chip on his shoulder and just determined to prove everybody wrong. Very dangerous game this Sunday.
Very dangerous for both sides. Obviously, the playoff implications for Baltimore, much more grand of a prize. But they're fully motivated because they're trying to make sure they get in the playoffs. They're fully motivated because they've been in playoff mode mentally for a few weeks here because they know the margin of error was so slim. But then if you look at Cleveland, and I can understand Cleveland's plight. I've probably been on more losing teams than everybody up here. I would say that you're a Super Bowl champion.
Nah, we wasn't what?
Y'all didn't win playoff games, but y'all had some squads. We didn't even win playoff games, or we didn't have a squad to even get in the playoffs. But I will say this, that last game of the year, oh man, it's fool's gold to everybody on the sorry team because we like, if we win this game, we got 8-9 months with a good taste in our mouth. We go into the offseason thinking great things and changing the culture in Cleveland. This will be a playoff game. Greg Williams has said this is a playoff game for us. So you're seeing two teams with playoff mindsets. How will it play out? Best team wins. And I think Baltimore is slight edge, but Cleveland is fully motivated in this moment as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Baltimore wins. And I don't, like you said, I don't think it's a blowout by any stretch of the imagination, but Baltimore is playing at home. And when they beat, you know, when Cleveland beat them before, they didn't have Lamar. So they have him now. And they're going to have to worry about, he's doing a better job over the past 2-3 games of passing the ball too, you know. So now they're going to have to worry about keeping him in the pocket where before Flacco, you rush him any kind of way you want to. You know where he's going to be. You don't have to worry about staying in your lane. With him, you got to stay in your lane. And on top of that, you got to worry about the run game. And then him dinking and dunking you when they're faking a run and throwing a pass.
This game will be a good testament of just how much Lamar Jackson means to this team because what you said the first game, Cleveland beat him with Flacco under center. Mm-hmm. Baltimore has so much. They literally could go from winning the division to not even making the playoffs. They have so much to play for. I actually think Baltimore is going to win this game, and it'll be pretty easy because they have too much to play for. They can't afford to keep this game close. Mm. It means too much.
Right.
They literally can go from division winner to out of the playoffs. They're going to harass Baker. They're going to harass him. The Cleveland defense is going to be on the field so much that when Baker has the ball, he's going to have to be perfect, and they're going to force him into turnovers.
Baker Mayfield is someone that a lot of us underestimated coming into the NFL. I'm not a big fan of short quarterbacks. And so, you know, the guy's got a chip on his shoulder. I haven't seen him in any situation so far that he can't handle. TJ, I think you're dead wrong about them taking care of this thing easily. Again, there will be a desperation on Baltimore's side, but Baker Mayfield and just Cleveland and just Greg Williams, they're just desperate all the time, regardless of circumstance.
Playing in Baltimore, as loud as it gets, that crowd and what they're playing for is that deep, the back four, They're stout. They got three corners that can man you up at all times. Up front, they can rush the passer. Their linebackers can all run. They're good at every – Baker Mayfield hasn't played this type of defense that's going to be after him every single snap. Nick Chubb is not going to be able to run the ball the way he's run it in weeks past on this Baltimore Ravens defense, and that's why, see, they have too much to play for. It means too much to them.
Whitlock and Wiley, James Harrison and T.J. Hostmanzada are back. Hostmanzada? Let's talk Patriots.
Change your name during the break.
Tom Brady is looking to cement himself as the GOAT, but the former MVP has looked pretty human this season. There is speculation now that Brady is dealing with an MCL injury, something Brady tried to squash this week, saying he, quote, feels 100%. Former Patriot Rob Ninkovich also doesn't think Brady's hurt and has a different theory for the QB's struggles.
I don't know if he's hurt or if he's just getting older. You know, I mean, everyone seems to have this false sense of, you know, Tom's invincible, but he's 41 years old. He's playing a position where you get 300-pound guys landing on you, hitting you, you know, big guys all around you. So, I mean, it gets a little hairy in there. So I just think that we're seeing Tom, you know, slow down a little bit.
All right, I go back and forth on this. Look, Father Times has a better record than Tom Brady, and so it's inevitable that he's going to slow up a little bit. And then as you get older, you just don't recover from the hits as quickly as you do. But more than anything, I think that, okay, Father Time is catching up with him, but not to the point that he's ineffective and can't win you a Super Bowl and is a liability for you in the postseason. The issue is all the support around him isn't good enough.
There you go.
That's the issue. He's still good enough if the personnel around him, but the personnel around him is banged up and Gronkowski.
That's who Father Time caught.
Yes.
And at the club. Yeah. He caught him at the club. He's like, boy, you are not the same. Yeah.
Josh Gordon obviously having his issues.
Right.
I think it's a lack of support for a 41-year-old quarterback who needs more support.
Yeah, look, Ninkovich, this is reckless to me. Irresponsible, I will almost say, because Tom Brady won the MVP at the age of 40. But now we're going to say, aha, Father Time caught you right now. Not even a full calendar year later. Like, in the same year, all of a sudden, Father Time has finally caught you. He wasn't that close a few months ago, but now he caught you. Okay, maybe so. But it sounds like a lot of guesswork here and confirmation bias to the fullest. Like, okay, he's 40. And we heard this for years. Tom Brady's, he's 37. He has to fall off a cliff. And soon we see one errant pass. There it is. Okay, that didn't work because he won MVP last year. Okay, soon we see some subpar games by his standard. All of a sudden, we're going to blame Father Time and a birth certificate. To me, it's irresponsible. This is a guy who's realizing, okay, maybe I only have so much in the tank, so many reps to give you. I'm not going to waste them. But if you're going to now point the target at him and his age, where was that a few months ago? It wasn't existing, so I think it's reckless.
Every quarterback is going to have some bad games. Tom Brady, if Father Time is catching up to him and we're 10-5, I'll take that with my quarterback every year. And we're going to win the division and we're going to have a home playoff game. I'll take that every year. Tom Brady, you just look at the guys they drafted over the course of his career at the receiver position. They haven't given him any weapons. He doesn't have one skilled player that you would rank in the top 50 in the NFL on his roster. Not one. That's the biggest problem. Julian Edelman is his best receiver. Mm-hmm. He was a quarterback in college. Your alma mater, right?
Yeah. You went to Penn State.
He's the only one that could consistently get open. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. I'm with you. You watch all his clips, the offensive line, the protection, he's not getting hit hard. He's under pressure.
Yeah.
And if Father Time is catching up to him, I'll take 10-5 under my quarterback all day.
Yeah, I agree with TJ. It's not Father Time. It's about the supporting cast. He's under duress. The offensive line is not giving him enough time to get it to where he needs to get it. You don't have the receivers, you know, getting open, like he said. And with Gronk, I think the issue with Gronk is the back surgeries, you know. I think it's wearing on him. You know, he had games where he missed. I had the same back surgery. And I see when he's playing, you know, it's times where he's running and he hits the ground and he's taking like 2-3 seconds to get up. And that's that pound from hitting the ground because you've had that surgery, you know, in your back and it grinds on you. And I think just over the course of, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Gronk, you know, this this was Gronk's last year, you know, considering the issues he's having with his back. And I think a lot of his play has contributed to that. So you add that with the fact that, you know, it's not Father Time. It's the supporting cast, and they're just not there for him.
Let me try a different route or just play devil's advocate. What if it's not Father Time physically as much as it is Father Time mentally? And, James, you played a long time in the NFL. When you get to that 15, 16, 17, 18th year in the NFL, what amazes me about Brady is he was always able to focus game after game after mm-hmm. game after game and play with that same energy and focus. Doesn't it get harder?
The physical demands of doing it gets harder. The actual focus is easier because you've been doing it for so long. It's repetition. You know, Monday is this. Like, Tom Brady is the only person that I have ever seen, dude, that has the greatest study habits I've ever seen. Like, you know the little folders that we get, the little 70-page binders?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he fills up one every game. Where yours is done, you have, what, halfway through the season, you got half of it full. Like, this man studies, he watches. Like, when he says he's into this, like, this is what he eats, lives, breathes, like, that's what he does. I don't think it's nothing to do with his preparation. You know, for me, as I got older, it was easier because I knew, like, ABC, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, how everything was going to go. Now, for him, like I said, I was there for a month and a half, dude, and I've never seen anybody that had the study habits that he did.
Yeah, it's crazy if you look at it. It's really like a Tetris going on. Like, Edelman suspended for the first four games. Oh, we got Gronkowski out there. And Sonny Michel, oh, he got injured. Okay, no, we got Gronkowski. Oh, he's not the same. But we're going to keep thinking he's the same because he's going to play himself back to his level. He never has. Okay, Edelman's back. Okay, now we got Edelman. We got Josh Gordon, and then he's gone. Like, it just seems like every time you throw the ball in there, somewhere, somehow, some way, it gets dropped. And then Tom Brady's been the constant, trying to week in, week out, work with a really different game plan because he's really supported by different cast members on a weekend basis. So to point at Tom Brady with all this inconsistency around him, I think that's faulty.
All right. Thank you, James. Thank you, TJ. Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Iceberg Jim Jackson. All right, let's head to Oakland, where the defending champs got embarrassed on Christmas, losing by 26 to a Lakers team that was without LeBron James for most of the second half due to a groin strain. The Warriors have now lost four times at home by 20-plus points, two more than they suffered in Steve Kerr's first four seasons combined. Steph Curry talked about the humiliating loss after the game.
It's a tough night. It's obviously in front of national stage, Christmas Day, a lot of hype, playing the Lakers. We were looking forward to this opportunity to get out there and play a lot better and just laid an egg. So you can feel terrible about it leaving, you know, the arena. Got to understand it's December in a decent spot. We got to get better, though. We know that we're not going to win a championship playing like we did tonight.
It's funny, Kevin Durant talked about the toxic environment around LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And maybe the toxicity is actually in the Bay, because they're not right. Mm-hmm. The Kevin Durant, Draymond Green dynamic, I think, has created a little, it's a fart in the room or whatever. I don't know. It's created something.
Excuse me, Miss Purdy.
Excuse me.
There's some issue there with the Warriors that I just don't think there's going to be an easy, quick fix.
I think there is a quick fix, and it's not necessarily by those individual members. It's going to be by structure, by the dynamics of what the playoffs really are, which is a seven-game series. So think about it. We're betting on an outlier game like what we saw last night to happen four times, five, six, seven times in 2 weeks from this team, shoot 40% from the field, 25% from three. Draymond has more fouls than points. Okay, go to Vegas with that one. Bet on the Warriors that all those guys are going to play like that up to seven times in 2 weeks, and it won't happen. And that's why I still think this team is in the same place. Now, let's admit the fart in the room. The fart in the room is a team that a few years ago won 73 games came down to earth and realization that didn't mean that much because they lost the championship that year. Then you start to realize, why fight in games to the death when it's just a loss? A three-point loss, 30-point loss, at the end of the day,
does that really matter? They're still second in the West by one game. And they don't even have Boogie Cousins yet, man. Ring the alarm if you want to. I'm not listening to that noise.
The fart. I said this before. The biggest thing they fight is complacency. Because it's so hard to be able to get up for each and every game, no matter how talented you are. So what I want to do is take a step back and look at the 97 Bulls, 98, and the 01-02 Lakers when they were on the back end of trying to three-peat. In November, the 97-98 Bulls, they were 9-6. In December of 01 and 02, the Lakers were 6-5. So right now we're living in this moment where Golden State is losing these games. And we're like, oh, you know, the earth is ending. Will they be able to win? But if we look at history, even the best teams have struggled at times after they've been successful because it's so hard to get up for each and every game. Now, the difference, I think, with these two teams is you had an outlier in the Michael Jordan that demanded so much more, okay, that didn't allow it to spur on and keep going. So you knew that. Kobe Bryant, when he finally took over a little bit more of the leadership, Shaq was still there. But they demanded so much more, and everybody respected that. I think – on this particular team is really not an alpha male, even though Draymond may be the voice at some time, but it's really not that guy, that alpha male that demands so much more that you got to step up. So to me, it was not an indictment on Golden State, more so than history showing its face, but also how far the Lakers have come in regards to their growth as a young team, because I don't think this game would have been completed if Rondo wasn't in the game.
Yeah,
if it was Lonzo Ball, I don't think they hold on to the lead and end up winning. But with Rajon and the improvement of other players, I think it's more of a compliment to where this Laker team has come from.
It's hard for me to say that game last night said anything about the Lakers because LeBron missed such a big chunk of it that that's really something I'm just going to discard.
Well, why? Because they could have easily lost the lead.
I get it.
You see what I'm saying? To this Golden State team in that situation, they could have easily, in that third quarter, succumbed to Golden State coming back.
And it got down to two.
I got it. But there's never going to be a 18, 20-minute stretch where LeBron's not on the court once he's healthy. So I'm not going to chalk. That game, to me, is more about the Warriors. And you just made the point about a Kobe. Because at that time, when they're trying to three-peat with Kobe, by that time, Kobe had, like, started pushing his weight around and taking it from Shaq. And again, you made the point, Draymond is that guy for the Golden State Warriors. But to me, Kevin Durant has cut his legs out from underneath him with their last dispute. Well, Draymond can't be that guy anymore on that team.
Well, it's not that dispute. That's the smoke. What the real is, Draymond is horrible this year by his own standard.
Right.
Draymond is shooting 40% from the field. Draymond was left open in that nasty position in NBA where you're wide open at three and they're just looking at you. No closeout, nothing. Shoot that air ball, please. He is shooting 22% from the three. He is not keeping that depth lineup to being something that is deadly. And what's crazy is he used to be the guy that could just start it, right? But you know what? Players don't respond if you ain't balling like that. Then it becomes noise, and I think that's where he is.
Okay, Barcellus, but don't you think that the organization sided with Kevin Durant during that dispute? And Draymond's like, well, hold on. I'm the foundational piece. I'm the heart and soul backbone of this team. When I call a guy out, that's my role, and now I'm suspended? Again, you don't think Draymond's confidence isn't off and isn't like they've undercut who I actually am?
Let's go back a little bit. When Kevin Durant came, the big question was how would he impact and affect Klay and Steph's shooting? Nobody really talked about the impact he has on Draymond. And here's where it's at. You add a third ball handler on the court. Before, it was Draymond initiating a lot of the offense. He'd get it off the board, he would go. Now with Kevin Durant, that takes more of the responsibility out of Draymond's hands. He doesn't have the ball as much. He's not as effective in a half-court set or running, you know, the fast break. So it's impacted his game. So his output is down across the line because he's not playing the same role he played before Kevin Durant.
I buy that more of game-specific than – I can't believe that he's jelly belly, like, to the point where, like, oh, Durant has cut my legs and organization sided with him. I'm just going to airball now. Like, I don't look at him with that mental makeup.
But it's mental. Marcellus, you know how you know how it's such a thin line with the mental aspect of sports, okay? Now, you accustomed to playing a certain role.
True.
Then all of a sudden, game by game is getting eaten into. Mm. Now you got the outside voices going on. Your contract is coming up. All these things are going on, and now you're not really the same type of player. The impact on the defensive end is not the same. The rebounding is not the same. And the assists are not the same.
It's the But the Lakers played a championship game yesterday to the point where, I mean, complacency and motivation for Golden State up and down, that was a Laker playoff game. And LeBron tried to play it off like, don't judge yourself against them. He went out there and pulled his groin in effort to try and win that game. Come on, y'all.
But
come on.
Don't. I not analyze this on a one-off.
Okay.
We said this is, I think, the fourth time they 20-point losses. If you just look at the at home, if you just look at their whole team and dynamic and what's been going on all year, I think Draymond's a changed person. Draymond used to be the dude in he had final say in the locker room, and he don't anymore. That's a different role and a different mental game that he's playing that I don't think he's handling very well right now. I'm Jason Whitlock. He's Marcellus Wiley. Jim Jackson is back. Time to put on our thinking caps. Mm-hmm. As you know, I'm a journalist, and we've got our resident Ivy Leaguer, Columbia's very own Marcellus Wiley.
So esteemed.
We're going to take a deeper look at some big issues in sports. Mm-hmm. Got a special cap for our man Marcellus.
Bust a cap out here.
Darnell, bring it in.
Did you slurp like that at Columbia?
Every day.
Did they look
every
at you crazy?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
You from Compton and he slurping? Get about school.
All right.
Thank you, Oha.
Let's head back to the NBA, where LeBron James has been actively recruiting Anthony Davis to join the Lakers. Hmm. LeBron recently said he has, quote, always recruited, but could have some competition for the Pelican star. Sports Illustrated's Andrew Sharp recently said Celtics star Kyrie Irving and LeBron will engage in a cold war over Davis, which I don't know. I don't know how Kyrie expects to win this war when LeBron has Rich Paul on his side and all that. But the conversation today is just the infatuation with recruiting in the NBA. College basketball has always been about the recruiting wars, and now the NBA is turning into a story about recruiting wars. And I'm just not sure if that's good for the overall brand, that the players out wheeling and dealing and trying to build up their AAU teams together, if as a fan, it frustrates me, and I kind of don't like it that all this recruiting, all the player, now they're exchanging. I've read a story about somebody exchanging phone numbers, Kyrie and Joel Embiid and all this other stuff. I just don't think it's healthy for the NBA brand.
Yeah, well, let me speak to all fans out there. Don't be fooled that your access into the NBA life now is you seeing something new, because this is old, brother. Recruiting has been going on forever. See, the NBA, when I start watching it, it was the day where the only access we had was Amar Rashad on Saturday morning, watching some dude, like, inside stuff at some gym, like, wow, he could dribble with both hands. This is amazing. Like, and now we got 24-7. You see it all. But back in those days, there were general managers doing the same thing that now these players are doing. And what's happened is we think we're enlightened, but let's go biblical. King Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. Trust me, y'all. This is nothing new. I got recruited to go to high school. I got recruited at Pop Warner. I mean, this is in the 80s. Cats, I played at one of the best high schools in the world.
By other players, were you recruited?
Well, no, because at that time, we didn't have the access. So it was just some dude, I'm eating chili cheese Fritos. He's like, hey, man, you're pretty good. Come to high school.
Right.
Back in those days. Right now, this is a beautiful thing for the game because now the leverage is where the actual action and enforcement is. On the court, LeBron James has said on record, I've been recruiting since I got in the league. And nothing new. He's been rejected, he said, more than he's been accepted. I don't understand that why this would turn a fan off when this is just—
because if Anthony Davis is coming down the lane and LeBron James can foul him or let him go and he's recruiting him, you're going to let him go.
You think he went tough at everybody he's ever played against? His best friend, Dwayne Wade, they out there getting flagrants against each other. I mean, I think that you're still competitive even against the guys you're close to.
It's just, I think it's a matter of now players just have more control. Once free agency really took off, the collective bargaining agreement changed, players got more control and more say. A lot of this became more relevant. And plus, the rules don't state that players can't talk to players. It may look kind of funny. Now, if you're a fan of New Orleans, you don't like it. But if you're a fan of the Lakers, you love it.
Love it.
What if you're a fan of the NBA?
It depends on what demographic you fit in. Older demographic's not going to like it. The younger demographic, who they're shooting for, they love it because they want to see the best player.
Why are you sure they love it?
Because
that's an assumption.
Well, okay. Okay.
People love great competition. People want to believe there's great, inspired, passionate competition, not some buddy-buddy AAU banana boat friends have all colluded.
And so you're assuming that everybody thinks that?
No.
That's never been the NBA in the past.
But see, that's what I'm saying, because I guess it depends on what narrative and who we're talking about. Young people want to see talent on the court.
Right.
From what I know, they want to see talent on the court.
Together,
however it's spread out, they want to see talent.
What were the Celtics? What were the Lakers in the 80s? Think about it. If we never in the NBA in its history saw the 30 best players, one on each team. No, we saw three on one team, two on the other team, let them battle it out in the finals. Like, every generation that's been dynastic has had multiple stars, and by hook or crook, they're on the same team, and I'm not mad if it takes a conversation.
Marcellus.
Yes.
I'm a little slightly older than you. I don't ever remember a time when Magic Johnson and Isaiah were like, man, we should get together and play together in L.A. or Detroit.
They didn't have the freedom. They didn't have access.
And as a fan, I like that.
But they grew up, it was a whole different era. Now, everybody wants parity in NBA, right? They want parity.
Yeah. I don't know if I want parity.
Well, here's the thing, but from the, what was it? Early 70s to the 80s, early 80s. The only time NBA ever had parity was in the 70s when you had multiple teams win championships. Other than that, you had a select group of teams that won.
Yeah.
And those teams typically stayed together and they had 2 to 3 all-stars on those teams. Mm-hmm. So we never really seen what people are asking to have. Now it's changed a little bit more because now the freedom of movement is there. Guys can spread out and do things. So the whole parity thing is a little bit obscure when you look at the history of the NBA. Even in the 60s through the mid-70s when the Celtics were dominating, again, early on, there was only 8 teams in the league, okay? Eastern Division and the Western Division. The Celtics pretty much dominated. So we don't have this thing called parity that everybody wants. And I don't think Magic – think about this. Mark Aguirre was boys with Isaiah. Same. You don't think that Isaiah and Mark Aguirre had a conversation about him coming to Detroit when Adrian Dantley was there? I think they did.
They did. Oh, okay. That's factual.
You know what I'm saying?
Look, here's, I think, the element that you guys are, or I'm not representing fully, is I just don't trust the players to be in control of the league. And the reason why I say that is because I wouldn't trust myself to be in control of Fox Sports.
Right.
Because if we
pay cuts. You got a parking spot.
If we were in control of Fox Sports,
It's on.
We'd be getting carried in here every day with grapes being fed
Roseberries.
And we'd show up 1 minute before airtime. We'd make everything as easy as possible on us, and that may not produce the best product. And again, that's why I'm just like, it's not that I'm anti-players. It's just human nature is when you're in control, you're going to make things easier on yourself.
Here's the thing, though.
That's why I don't cook anymore. I order DoorDash.
Hey, listen, let me get that info, too. I need that, too, because I don't cook. But isn't that where the president and GM come in? Because I think you do want to have some input from some of your best players. You can bring it to me. Let's talk about it. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to go that direction. Okay, input and me actually moving forward is two different things. If I got trust of my president and the GM that they're going to make the right decision for the team, then that's where it ultimately is going to go. Now, if you got a president and GM that succumbs to the pressure, then that's where the issue comes in at.
And let's talk about, that's funny what you said, but in reality, I think you would still show up and do your job. You know why? You're internally motivated. To be great at anything, you're internally motivated. Like surroundings, you're able to tune them out. Think about it. LeBron has been rejected more than he's been accepted. Why? no matter what you do to convince me, and I've been a free agent before, and there was a time where I was the highly sought after free agent. Ain't no conversation moving me, bro. It's circumstances. What's best for my game, what's best for my situation. So look, LeBron has walked into living rooms before, went to dinners before, and guys were like, I know you, LeBron. I know it'll be amazing.
Bro. I ain't coming to Cleveland.
I'm not going there. All I'm saying is I think that even a great player who says yes to that situation is still going to say, I got to show up. I think you should trust in the players because the great ones know how to handle it. That's why they're great.
Let me tell you why I don't think they know how to handle it. Because I think real power moves in silence. And this is why I think LeBron has gotten so noisy. Again, anytime you talk about your power and I'm gonna do this and can't nobody control me and blah, blah. And again, this, because again, if you really understood your business, you're impacting, I'm an Indiana Pacer fan. Small market fans hear this, fans in Cleveland, oh, you can't recruit to our cities or whatever. We don't have LA's weather. We're not Miami. We're not Atlanta, blah, blah, blah. That's not good for your overall brand. And again, so LeBron can do whatever he wants behind the scenes. He doesn't have to do it all publicly. I don't get that. I don't understand why he had to comment. He's flexing.
No, you know why? Because I really think he thinks he has the Midwest in the bag. Just think about it. I'm from there. Y'all know I would never disrespect home turf or our home elements. So now let me talk to those blue states. Let me talk to those regions where everybody is wanting to go. And let me talk to them. I think he really takes for granted maybe to a fault, that I got the Midwest on lock because he's from that. That's his soil. So
I think, too, that it's like Robert De Niro, right? He's older. Now he's coming out saying it because he don't care. Mm. What you going to do? I already got my awards. I got everything.
Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones. They already got their. LeBron is on the back end of his career. He was very calculated and strategic early on. Now that he's gotten older, he's on the back end. I mean, pretty much he's going to say what's on his mind, whereas before he really didn't. He was really cautious. He's on the back end. He's like, you know what? At this point in my career, I'm going to tell you how I feel whether you like it or not. There okay? And this is what it is. I think that's where he's at and why he's actually coming out and actually showing us probably the gravitas of the control and leverage he has.
Cards up.
Time to get anti-social.
Anti.
Got my Twitter off here.
Keep it off.
Back from our Christmas break. Mm-hmm. Darnell Smith, our social media manager, is here.
What's up, man?
Merry Christmas.
Woo, you look chunkier.
Man, I've been eating good. I can't lie.
We all been eating good up here, boy.
Get that gym.
All right, what's popping on the Twitter streets?
Yeah, man, let's start with Baker Mayfield, who has been throwing some major shade at his former head coach, Hugh Jackson. First, he snubbed Hugh with a hug after the Browns beat the Bengals back in November.
No thanks.
Then, just last weekend, Baker ran down the Bengals sideline and gave Jackson a strong stare down. Well, our guy Michael Rappaport had an interesting thought, tweeting, if rookie Cam Newton was doing the same talking to a coach rookie Baker Mayfield has been doing, what would general population be saying about it? Do y'all think there's a double standard to Baker Mayfield?
I talked to Michael Rappaport about this today before the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the only thing I think he's missing is the full context. Hmm. Baker Mayfield has little guy syndrome, and he's had it for a while. He's a shade under 6 feet. He had to walk on twice. And so this chip that he has on his shoulder, he carried all throughout college. Right. He's grabbing his crotch. He's planting flags. He's taunting everybody. And so he's on brand. He just carried that over into the NFL. And he's being criticized for it. Colin Cowherd, before our show, is a Baker Mayfield critic. And so some people don't like what Baker's doing, and they're saying it. Some are kind of, I don't think it's great, but I'm not sure I would shred him. And so I just think there's some differences between the little dude that's a walk-on, that's played with a chip on his shoulder, versus Superman.
Well, look, I love Baker Mayfield. I love a cocky attitude. I always separate your attitude from your performance. You could be nice and PC and sorry. I don't love you anymore. And if you're cocky and you're balling, hey, man, respect to you. That said, to answer your question, hell yeah, there's a double standard. Think about it. Motivations aside, because we land in the same place. Cam Newton got criticized for doing a dance, dabbing, and giving a ball to a kid. I just heard criticism of that. And if he dared...
look at his coach with disgust and try to own him in the moments, I just think that that would have been a wildfire, a little bit more than it is for Baker Mayfield, no matter him still having his own critics.
But true. Having said that, though, yeah. Are you surprised if you followed Baker Mayfield's college career? Is it shocking what he's doing in the NFL?
No, it's not. But at the same time, Cam Newton, whatever his motivations, he had his indiscretions, he had his issues, he had his chip on his shoulder, whatever you want to do it. Say they landed in the NFL, and then one did this, and it got blown out of proportion. And then one is doing this, and we're just keeping it there. We're not going to blow it out of proportion. That's the only difference. I hear you, Michael. I'm with you.
What's next, Darnell?
Yeah, sticking with Baker. After being asked about his stare down towards Hugh Jackson, he initially said he hadn't done any such thing, but now Mayfield is owning up to it by saying, quote, "I don't get why people have a problem with football being a competitive sport. You're supposed to play with passion. If people don't like it, whatever."
Ooh.
Is this a good look for Baker?
He also said in there something about all he cares about is what they think in the locker room, I think he said today, okay. Which made me say, wow. He's representing the feelings of the locker room in Cleveland.
Right, right.
And I don't like what he's doing to Hugh Jackson, to be quite honest with you.
Gotcha.
He's piling on a defeated man. He's kicking someone while they're down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why he's doing this. I mean, he's really punishing Hugh Jackson, but he's basically saying the locker room loves it and respects it, and it makes me go, damn. They didn't like you in Cleveland. That entire locker room is deeper than just Baker.
Yeah, that one win is telling a lot more of the lack of motivation and support he had in that locker room. I love this. Look, if I got a sorry offensive tackle, after two sacks, I'm not going to let up. You taking hell for the rest of your life. And if this gets you out the NFL, that's on you, bro. I love that competitive spirit. Like Hugh Jackson.
Offensive lineman's in the fire. He's in the game. And Hugh Jackson's standing on the sideline.
Coaches like the fire. They give us the gas. They give us the matches. They the one give us the game plan. And if we can't like something, that's on you. And I'm burning you when I can.
Facts.
It's just competitiveness.
You like it?
I like that.
I love it.
It's football. At the end of the day, I used to love talking trash in practice with my teammates, in the games. That's the competitive nature of the sport.
Sean Payton gets in the mix. Sean Payton gets in the mix, and guess what? He can take some if he's gonna give some.
Mike Tom even tripped somebody on down the sideline.
Hugh Jackson's reputation's on life support, man. Why are you trying to pull the plug?
You just feel sorry for him.
His record put it on life support. You did that. And then Baker just like kicking the plug. He's like, all right, one day it's going to come out the socket. He go. That's on you, bro. Get yours.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
All right, let's move on to the hardwood, where the Golden State Warriors Twitter account wished people happy holidays with this cartoon picture of Draymond Green. Of course, Twitter went nuts over the cartoon. Fans had some pretty funny reactions to the picture, with most people questioning the artist's take on Draymond. We looks like. For some reason, Marcel, he kind of reminds me of my guy Whitlock. I don't know what it is. Do y'all think Draymond should be offended by this cartoon?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Why? Yeah.
Why?
Because they put his head on my body.
You stupid.
He's a pro athlete, man. That's a ridiculous rendition of Draymond.
Look at that. No Photoshop?
No.
They just did it right there. You know what is amazing, though? Even the fat NBA player that everyone says, oh, he looks bad. Remember Zach Randolph? People like, oh, he out of shape. Have y'all ever seen these dudes in real life?
Yeah.
All of them are skinny, are in great shape. None of them
except
are fat.
Except for Oliver Miller.
Okay, yeah, you got me. That's they won, though. That's they won.
All right.
Man, no, leave him alone.
Quickly,
man.
I want to squeeze one more in, Darnell.
Got you. Moving on to our very own social media star, Marcellus Wiley.
Oh, here we go.
Who received a Bird scooter for Christmas this year. Marcellus shared pictures of him and his scooter on Twitter and thanked Santa for the awesome gift. Social media was loving the pictures and the Christmas pajamas Marcel was rocking. All right, Willock, do you have an issue with a grown man flaunting his gifts on social media?
This particular gift, will you ever use it beyond this picture?
I'm trying to figure out ways, but not yet. Just in my backyard, let me go to the pool.
You gonna break that scooter, man.
Yeah, that was my favorite gift, and I got some good gifts, but that one, because it's just so unique. Like, I was like, wait a minute, the thing that's on the streets is in my house, and I can use it? Even little man trying to get his height up so he can use it with me, man.
Don't get hurt on that, and I wish they required people to wear helmets with those things, because I can't believe how popular they are.
They are amazing. And I'm not flaunting the scooter, really. Y'all see my thighs and my muscles? Y'all see the body come out?
Medium. I was going to get on that neck.
Look at the body right there.
Talking about my shirt.
That ain't Draymond there. That's me.
Look like you down to about 18% body fat there.
I wouldn't even give him that.
Hey, hell no. Nah. I'm bigger
than
that.
Last but not least.
On Monday on Lock It In, Todd Furman was talking about Kansas City's defense not looking so good and might be one and done in the playoffs. Take a listen.
They're at the bottom of the barrel. This defense that I didn't think could get worse has gotten worse, and I really believe that Kansas City could be one and done. Won't be surprised if all three of us are picking whatever road team goes into Arrowhead, the divisional round of the playoffs, and upsets Kansas City.
Mm. Y'all agree with Todd here?
Yes and no. Listen, if the Colts went to Kansas City, Andrew Luck, and the way I like their defense, particularly their defensive line, that could be a problem. It depends on the draw. I think that there's some teams I like the matchup with. If they replayed San Diego, I like them. If they replayed Baltimore, LA. If they play Baltimore, I like them against Baltimore again. But I can see them losing in the first round.
I can see them losing too, and I hate that. That would kill my fan spirit because you root for a team all year long. Yeah. You get excited and then one and done. I love his argument because it's merit-based. I hate the history argument. Oh, KC did this last year. Was Patrick Mahomes the quarterback last year? Like, this is a completely different dynamic, but his was merit-based. Hopefully, he's wrong.
As a Chiefs fan and follower since 1994, history does matter when it comes to the Chiefs. They blow some.
Look at, boy, you hurt. Heartache.
All right, thank you, Darnell. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Drew Brees.
Cool down.
Oh man.
It's not bad Uncle Jimmy. Look at that.
Reverend Al Sharpton, back in the house again.
One and only Reverend Al Sharpton.
With that perm, Mr. Sharpton.
Sending a happy Kwanzaa greeting out to everybody.
Oh Kwanzaa.
And it's that first day of Kwanzaa. Yeah,
respect. You know, my brother.
Unity in the family.
All right, let's take a look at our highlight from earlier in the show, our discussion about Drew Brees. Forgive me, Kansas City, for I'm about to sin. Drew Brees should win MVP.
What?
In my view, Mahomes and Brees are tied, and the tie should go to the 39-year-old legend who has never won the award.
Vegas says Patrick Mahomes has the lead. Slim lead, but the lead. So there's no tie going on even by the numbers. Let's flip the coin over, because at their best, I still say Patrick Mahomes has been better. But at their worst, there's no argument, and that's what just decided our last voting at the collegiate level. And I'm thinking that these voters are going to look at it in the same kind of storyline.
All right, a lot of disagreement between Marcellus and I about this MVP. We've been going back and forth all season. Uncle Jimmy, what was your take on our discussion earlier today?
First of all, let me say once again, I'd like to stand before you to say I find your whole essay to be an abomination. How dare you compare the Purdue Privileged to the Jacksonville sweetness?
Jackson State
sweetness. I'm sorry, man. How the hell you gonna compare Drew Brees to Walter Payton? Hey, wait. Let me guess. What's next? What you gonna do next? What you gonna do next? Say that Adele is the modern day Aretha Franklin?
You can say that.
Hello.
What?
You better put some R-E-S-P-C-T on Patrick Mahomes' name. And that's what the hell you better do.
I do respect Patrick Mahomes.
Is that how you
He's
spell
my
it?
Favorite player. R-E-S-P-E-C-T,
yeah,
I think.
You spell it that way?
See? P-E-C-T. And look, he's great and so is Adele.
Man, look, let me tell you something. Listen. Boy.
That bang right there.
Man, I just killing me. Well, you ain't chasing pavements. What you're doing is you out here chasing pavements and you rolling in the deep. And you done set fire to the rain.
Huh? Also, you do like Adele.
You do like Adele.
And you done lost your damn mind. Okay. And I'm going to tell you, you said they've been talking about Drew Brees for MVP.
Yeah.
He done lost your damn mind.
I'm with you.
See, here's the truth. Let me tell you something. Honestly, Patrick Mahomes is going to win MVP.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to tell you why he's going to MVP. Because it ain't going to be nothing but reprobation. Reparations. for the greatest quarterback.
Boy, that eggnog yesterday.
The modern day Muhammad Ali. You know who I'm talking about.
Who that? Oh.
Oh, you got cap on. There you go. Respect.
Modern day.
Reparations.
See, this ain't nothing but reparations for Cap.
Makeup
for
call.
What we did.
That's a makeup call.
For running him out.
Oh, look at the host.
You understand? You understand? Cam Newton gonna get runner up. Eric Reed gonna get second. Oh, you understand what we saying?
So you just gonna play the race card on Drew Brees in this
the
whole
race
deal.
Deck. Look right. Like playing the whole
deck. In the whole deck with that shirt.
What is
man,
going
look,
on?
Let me tell you something, man. Do Mike send Velveeta for Christmas? You damn straight I'm gonna play that card. You sitting up there talking about we gonna give it to an old white man because he ain't never had it. I say we give it to a younger brother with a different color mother. Because Patrick Mahomes is the number one clear choice for the MVP.
Reparations.
God damn the hell that you want to start something. Ain't going to be nothing. Mark Ellis, you better tell him.
Hey, man, that shirt got you amped
up. No justice, no peace.
I
didn't want it to be like this.
That wasn't my angle, but I hear you.
As tight as that shirt is,
man. Like,
no justice, no pizza.
Hey, you know what? Hey, I needed a job. He said, fill this out. He handed me the shirt.
All right, we got to get to our approval ratings for Drew Brees.
I got one for you, too, if you want to wear it.
No, I will not be wearing that shirt. That's blasphemy.
That's what we need to do.
Kaepernick in the same breath with Muhammad Ali. But let me go to my approval rating.
There you go. See, I knew it.
Drew Brees, I'm going to drop his job performance a little bit.
Oh, okay.
24 to a 22.
Got you there.
All-time greatness. Everything else stays the same. All-time greatness, 22. Character, 24. Authenticity, 23. Mm. He's still a GOAT, 91. One of my highest rated guys in all of sports.
Yeah, man. He's still a GOAT for me, 93. Had to drop his job performance like Jason Whitlock, which leads me to say maybe he's not the MVP, as you said in your essay. If his top performance is dropping, tell me why.
Look, if we had to redo Patrick Mahomes right now, I think I had him at a 25 job performance. I'd drop him probably to a 23, 24 right now.
Okay, you know? It's just interesting that we're really going to play legacy on this one, huh?
Yeah. Really? Legacy matters.
It does, but not in an individual award for 1 year.
Who the tie go to the old man? Who the tie go to?
Youngster.
All right.
We're paying this forward.
Tie goes to the runner. Who going to win in the foot race?
What?
Ain't no. The They're reparations are going to Drew Brees. He's put
Don't start there. It. Don't start none. It won't be nothing.
It makes sense there.
Everything's about race with you, ain't it?
No, with you.
You got the shirt on and you're going to put it on Whitlock. That was cold-blooded, boy.
May the Lord watch.
All right, look, we're very close here, Marcel.
Yeah, this first time.
91.
Yeah, I'm always higher than you.